Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Atlanta, what is going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, it is good to have you listening on a Monday. Now, normally, Mike Bell, at least over the last 8 weeks, we've come in on Mondays and been very disappointed. That is not the case today because, guys, it's a bye week. Now, the Falcons will get back to work. As a matter of fact, they're on the field today.
Right.
They will start preparations for those New Orleans Saints. And I heard Freaky say it earlier today when he talked about, you know, it's hate week. We don't like them. We know that. They don't like us. I don't care how the season is going. I don't care if they're having a losing season. If we are, this is still a monumental game. We know what the stakes are. So for all the things that we've talked about being 1-7, throw it out of the window because this week matters.
Right. I was leaving the U.S. Grand Prix yesterday, and they have these bus services. They shuttle you down to the track and then back to downtown Austin, Texas. And the bus driver, the bus fleet that they had hired, is they're all from New Orleans. So the bus drivers, they're all wearing Saints jerseys. So sure enough, my wife and I riding shotgun. We're in the front row, and I had an Atlanta United jacket on. We start chatting. He said, you know what y'all should do? When Breeze retires, send Matt Ryan to us. We'll get him a ring.
Oh.
And I'm like, and I'm sitting there like, you know, what can you say?
You can't say anything.
Can't say anything. To a Saints fan. I mean, you can say all you want, but you're not going to win the argument. But anyway, man, yeah, the Falcons did do some reshuffling. Now, what does this mean to the average fan? We'll try to make some sense of it. But Dan Quinn, speaking with the media earlier, they're going to reassign some coaches and gives guys different responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of Falcon fans are saying, okay, you show it to me. See what this does on the field.
Yeah, and trust us, we will talk plenty about this matchup as the week goes on. We got a lot to talk about coming off of this weekend. But before we get into all of that, and I do want to ask you dog fans a big question today. How was the trip, man, by the way? I know you were excited about going. For those who don't know, Mike's a big Grand Prix fan.
Right.
And matter of fact, you've been all over the world now. You've been all over the world.
Yeah, man. So this is my my second U.S. Grand Prix, but it's a great time down in Austin. You meet sports fans from all over the world. So you got soccer fans. I talked to some Germans. Atlanta United's got some rep, man. A lot of people coming up and talking to me about the jacket I was wearing, Atlanta United. That's always cool. But, yeah, Carl, it was great to talk to a bunch of football fans. And, of course, you know, American race fans from all over as well. You know what everyone's asking me?
What's that?
What the hell is wrong with the Falcons?
Yeah, I know.
You know, and I'm like, you got an hour, I'll explain it to you. But, yeah, watching the Georgia game, and I thought that was, you know, it was solid. 24 points, I thought we'd score maybe more scoring than this one, but it sure seems like all the things that Georgia fans were waiting to see, you got in this game. It was probably the best defense you played. So it just begs the question, where was this earlier in the season if you knew Coley could dial this sort of thing up?
Well, I think, too, you know, some people will say that they didn't want to show their hand leading into the Notre Dame game, right? That there were some things they didn't want to show the competition. And then others will say that, you know, they didn't think the Dogs were capable of showing you what they showed you with multiple sets, scheming, and having multiple guys running routes and being wide open like Cager was for the big touchdown that broke it open. You know, my thing is, Mike, I went into this game, and it's weird because I've been on Jake Fromm, you know, since they gave him the job when Eason was here, and he came in and did a terrific job. But I said this. I think he had better players around him. But I've been doubting Fromm, and I don't think I was the only one doubting him after a bad performance against South Carolina and a mediocre performance against Kentucky. Those are teams that I expected him to blow doors. I expected Fromm to have 3 or 4 touchdowns in those kind of games. Didn't happen. They stayed to the formula of running the football. But are you doubting him now? Because Jake Fromm arguably played his best game against a Florida team as the best team that the Dogs have seen, in my opinion,
right,
and now put themselves to be back in the college football playoff mix, Mike. And, you know, the biggest thing was, can you win third downs? And we talked about it on Friday. Thanks to everybody that came out to Twin Peaks in Buckhead to hang out with us. We had a great time out there. All of our guys out there hanging out on Friday. But winning third down was the key. And when you go 12 of 18 winning third downs, you're more likely going to win the football game.
Right. And I thought that, you know, the run game, the run stats by Georgia's standards were not a great day. 119 yards altogether. Swift, with a lot of carries, only averaged 3.4 because we knew that was a rugged Florida defense you're going to go up against. But Jake Fromm, you know, the knockabout throwing it 30 times. It never won when he threw it 30 times, right at 30. And they win. 2 touchdowns. Who knew that a transfer from Miami would be the linchpin for getting Fromm back on track. Seems he's got much more confidence with him. Now, I'm sure that Pickens and maybe Robertson, that will never develop. I don't know. But in the case of Cager, makes the big plays, that wheel route that opens, it takes forever to develop. But Florida, you know, is kind of looking in the backfield. That goes for a touchdown. I still think there's more to be had. I still think you still got more gas in the tank, and you can put the pedal to the metal with this offense. You agree?
I do, but I will give Coley credit because, again, I think the pressure was on him to kind of deliver in the moment and show us that this offense can be a little bit more dynamic than we have seen. Now, is it Ohio State? No. Is it LSU, what we've seen so far? No. Is it Alabama with Tua healthy? No. But if they play defense the way they did against Florida, Mike, they'll be in those games. And so as much as I still would like to see them, you know, have more explosive plays, and they had a big one. The Cager play was huge. Listen, they got a touchdown call back by D. Swift that should have been a touchdown. That was another explosive play, but it gets called back for a penalty. You had a game that could have easily been blown out. But the score was really not indicative of how good the Dogs played.
And I know that Gator fans were certainly upset with the officiating. They thought that, and I know Randy talked about it with Andy earlier today in the show, I think a lot of people thought that LeCount might have been guilty of pass interference on that fourth down they go to. I thought they were kind of letting the guys play, to be honest with you. The one thing I think the Florida fans would have had a chance to be upset was the ball that hits the ground, the pass play out in the flat where it certainly touches the ground. But, you know, like that's the way the cookie crumbles. Certainly if you're Florida, you know, they're saying all the right things, but they're effectively out now unless Georgia does something really bad. They got to lose a few more because, you know, obviously the head-to-head matchup is an advantage for Georgia. And I got a kick out of reading Seth Emerson in The Athletic. I was getting caught up on everything Georgia when I was flying home this morning. The article where, if you didn't read this, the media, as the coaches are taking the press box elevator, because the coaches are just down the hallway from where the media is assembled right there, and they're all going, yeah, a lot of quiet people up here. Dude, you scored 24 points, okay? I didn't realize this was like Air Coryell. I didn't realize that Bill Walsh was coaching the Georgia Bulldogs. But this is something that I will give you credit, because I've always said, like, we're just two guys having fun, or, you know, sports talk radio, or guys that write columns or whatever. I mean, nobody pays attention to this that play these sports. They all pay attention. They all listen. They all say ignore the noise. And the first thing they say after the win is they're talking all about the noise. Nobody was saying Fromm was a bum. We're just saying Fromm's got to be better. And with Justin Fields looking all world, it's hard to avoid that conversation.
Man, it was one of the first things Kirby said. You know, don't doubt Fromm. Okay, so where's that coming from?
I mean, even Tim Tebow was crapping on Fromm. Okay, yeah. And again, not crapping on him, but saying he's got to do more on his the SEC network. Everybody knows what this team is supposed to be doing. There's a level of hype when you're supposed to be the top three teams in the country. There's an expectation level, Carl, that up until this most recent game, they weren't exactly meeting.
Are you still doubting him? And where does this put you with the Dogs in comparison to all the other top teams? Because really, that's what we're talking about now. And the College Football Playoff Committee puts out their first poll tomorrow, guys. I put it out on Twitter. Follow us, my version of what I think is going to happen. Follow us on Twitter, guys. Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio shows, Dukes and Bell, 929. You can follow our radio station as well, 929 The Game, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, and, of course, all social media platforms. I think Ohio State's going to be number one, but Georgia should be on the outside looking in. Remember, all they have to do is continue to win. Just beating Florida, I don't think, gets them into the top four. But if you get to the SEC championship, you're going to be in that top four with the chance to be in the Final Four in college football. Here's the thing, Mike. The Cager play broke it open for those who missed it. The final score, again, 24-17, probably should have been what? 34-17? I mean, somewhere around there without the mistakes that were made?
Yeah, I mean, Florida came back to certainly make it. Look, Florida, they showed me a lot. I think certainly Trask wasn't where they thought they were going to be at quarterback, but he does kind of meet what you know, Mullen is looking for, although he missed some throws because Georgia got heat on him. Give credit where credit's due. Georgia was cranking up the heat. Florida couldn't run the ball. Georgia still has not allowed a rushing touchdown. They're the only team in the nation, so that's something you can be proud of with that defense. But we always say it, and it's the cliche for the series. Whoever runs the ball more effectively wins. Georgia did, and they won.
They did, but this was a huge 52-yard play that broke it open.
Kick from our play action.
Not deep.
He's going to go down the sideline. Wide open. Lawrence Cager. Touchdown. 52 yards for the Georgia score.
It was huge. Thanks to CBS and our buddy Brad Nessler with the call. Then a two-point conversion to Cager as well that made it 22-24-10. Obviously, they come back to score one more time. I think another thing we've got to point out, and we've been talking about this O-line since the offseason, Mike, how good this O-line is going to be. I still think they're going to put four guys in the pros. Not maybe all first-rounders, but four of those guys you're watching right now are going to be playing on Sunday. They don't give up any sacks. And as much as we're giving Jake Fromm credit on Saturday, which he deserves, it pays when you're not on your back, Matt Ryan. It pays when you're not running for your life, Matt Ryan. It pays when the guys are in front of you doing the job, man. And we said this. Florida came in leading the conference in sacks, Mike. So I thought they would definitely get after him. They would put some pressure on him, try to make him in, make a couple of mistakes. Mm. It just didn't happen.
I was watching the college football final. Squidbillies man crush. Jesse Palmer was talking about that. They had the clock on it. It was like 3.2 seconds, 3.3 seconds. So he's got plenty of time to sit there in the pocket and to pick those guys apart. So that's great. Because that's, I mean, to me, the bill of goods that was sold, okay, about, and whether it's, you know, it's, it comes from the coaching staff or it comes from the draft Knicks, or the, I should say the recruit Knicks who follow that stuff, but this is supposed to be all-world offensive line. Well, they looked like it on Saturday.
They really did. 404-741-0929. It is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, guys. That's another way to get at us, and you can text the show as always. Jahi behind the glass today. Craig has got a day off, and Bo Morgan is back producing the program, so you'll get a chance to talk to Bo. We're going to give you a chance to win some money as well, playing our national signing bonus. No, we're not. We're not. It's over.
Well, that was quick. Well, we gave away money.
It was. We did. I think we gave away $2,000, two or $3,000, one or the other.
Either way, three guys got loot. So congratulations.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, it's just we have a lot of things going on here, so it's one less. I mean, we love to keep giving you money, but it is one less thing now that we got to do, and that means more hot air for us.
Well, and if you listen to us, you will get money. Trust us. All right, man. Coming up, we're going to talk more about what these moves are with the Falcons. What does it all mean? Dan Quinn doing some evaluating, Mike. And I would ask you this. Some of this stuff should have been done already. We'll talk about it next. It is Dukes and Bell. Lots of stuff going on this Monday, despite the fact that our Falcons did not play. We'll get to an NFL blitz coming up at 3 o'clock. Everybody's talking about Lamar Jackson and what went down with the Patriots last night. We'll get to all of that. More on the Dogs coming up as well if you're just joining us. Lots of dog conversation as they come off the big win down in Jacksonville. But also today, guys, we're finding out some things. You guys know this. The World Series is over now, which means the Braves now have an opportunity to pick up decline options on Tyler Flowers, on Nick Markakis, and Julio Teheran. Well, we find out today already from Ken Rosenthal that the Braves have re-signed free agent outfielder Nick Markakis to a one-year, $4 million contract. So Markakis will be back next season. And if you're going, wait a minute, well, what about the upgrade? Slow down. This is about getting things in place. Doesn't mean that they're not going to spend money, but today is the day where all of this starts to happen. And so if you're going, what else are they going to do? Well, you got to take care of your own or let your own know that you're not going to. So Flowers is also going to be back, Mike, but the Braves have that option to pick up or decline options on players, and so that's going on. The team declined the option on Flowers, but then they re-signed him to a one-year, $4 million deal, which saves the club $2 million.
Right.
So Flowers and Markakis back with the Braves.
And in case you're wondering, I mean, right off the top of my head when I heard the story, I'm thinking, okay, so, you know, Markakis, you know, he's getting a little long in the tooth. He was banged up. He did come back and was swinging a good bat, and then obviously everybody in the 3-4-5 just kind of, unfortunately, took the collar against the Cardinals. But Christian Pache and Drew Waters have a chance to come down to spring training in Northport this year, by the way, and show what they can do. And then the Braves will probably say, well, we'll wait till the beginning of May and have that that salary control, Carl, that everybody looks for. So I get that. So you'll have Markakis, and whether he won't be an everyday guy or use him for depth, you got that guy, and it's obviously it's a decent deal for him, but it's not breaking the bank. But eventually, Pache, Waters, Acuna, that's your outfield of the future, and the future should be pretty soon.
Pretty soon.
I think if you're a Braves fan, I want to see them go get that frontline starting pitcher. You know, that's the thing you're missing that everybody else had who went farther in the playoffs than the Braves did. You got to get that Garrett Cole type guy. Actually, just go get the Garrett Cole, Carl. That would be my thing. And then Donaldson is going to be a hot. He'll be a hot tomato out there in the open market. There's no hometown discount, even though he is a guy who had a lot of fun this year. I don't think you're going to be able to afford Josh Donaldson.
Well, we're going to see. I'm curious to see. And every year it's different. Every year you go, oh, it's going to be outrageous. Remember, nobody was signing veterans a couple of years ago. Like, there was this hold on vets and re-signing guys. Right. And then, you know, even last year, guys were undervalued. I mean, look how long it took to get the Bryce Harper deal done, which, you know, ultimately didn't result in anything. And I think that's a great lesson for the Braves. We don't need a $300 million guy to win this thing. You just don't. The Nationals have just shown you don't need that. What's more important is pitching.
Right. And again, the state, you know, the oldest team in the oldest team in baseball. It wins the World Series, to your point. But they got that nice mix. But they got the frontline starters. You need one more guy. You need a Garrett Cole type guy to be the anchor, and then Soroka, Fried, and Folty, and then the other next man up in the organization. By the way, Shea Langeliers is the catcher of the future, but he's probably not ready, and they're not gonna rush that. So Tyler Flowers, I know, like, if you're like me, Carl, the guy is a butcher behind home plate, but the guy is at a decent price, and he frames the pitch as well, according to Tom Glavine when I'm watching Fox Sports South. So he's on there for a decent deal. So there you go.
All right, let's talk about a couple of things that we're finding out today as the Falcons get back on the field Sunday, guys, at New Orleans. It's the first matchup of the season between the Falcons and the Saints. You know, it's always a big deal in our city, and we'll see them again on Thanksgiving night. But Dan Quinn comes out, Mike, and reassigns three assistants on the staff. Now, we said this last week, and you know, we just kind of let it ride. We said, what adjustments are going to be made internally, if any? Mm-hmm. What is our owner going to do? Because he says, I'm evaluating. So, well, we find out now that Dan Quinn is going to move his assistant head coach and wide receivers coach, Raheem Morris, over to the defensive side to work with the secondary. That's kind of his background. And then we find out that Bernie Parmalee is going to be the running backs coach, which is kind of his background.
Yeah, he was a running back for the Dolphins. Everybody loved a UPS man.
And then running backs coach Dave Brock, he's moved from running backs coach to the receivers coach. Okay, what do you make of this?
It means nothing to me. Back to you.
It means nothing to me. Back to you.
No, I mean, in all seriousness, okay?
Because it doesn't.
I mean, all right, you're going to tweak some stuff. And yeah, we had heard that even until before things really got ugly and Arthur Blank had to give a comment about Dan's future, that he was already delegating some of the authority on the defensive side of the ball. Okay. I mean, you're looking for a spark. You're looking for a sign. I mean, most Falcon fans that I speak to and then the guys that I'm friends with, I sit with in my section, we're ready to hit the reset button. But you still got football to play. And Dan is not going to sit there and go, I'm going to throw up the white flag. So they're going to keep trying to throw stuff on the wall and see what sticks. Now, if it's productive and you find a way to beat New Orleans, that'll be great. I mean, a lot of people are looking big picture. They're already focused on who we're going to draft. You know, that's what happens when you're 1-7. It's hard to keep people on the, you know, eye on the ball here. And hopefully these guys can step up. I know they've tried everything and possible with this defense, and it just doesn't seem to get traction. So if this helps, a little reshuffling of the deck. Can't go. I mean, look, you can't go wrong, right? I mean, you can't do it. I mean, you can't get any worse.
Well, and to your point, listen, we're being tongue-in-cheek when we say it doesn't mean anything. It means a little something because Dan Quinn's trying to adjust whatever little bit he's got left to try to make this thing happen.
Some new eyes on the problem, I guess, right?
Yes. But Mike, and maybe, I don't know, maybe I just have too much common sense. Doesn't this should have happened a long time ago? Like, isn't Raheem Morris one of the best? Coming up, he was one of the best young defensive mind coaches, right, which got him a head coaching job.
Right.
Ultimately, he gets got. It doesn't mean the guy doesn't know what he's doing. Sometimes all these guys need the learning experience when it comes to head coaches. But to me, this is something that should have been going on already. I'm going to put the best coaches in position where I know they're great. Dan Quinn talks about communication in the secondary. Okay, he says it's been bad all season. We know that. Because we see how bad the secondary has been playing.
I mean, Marquand Manuel was a defensive back, you know, when he was working with these guys. And again, we had Trufant and Alford. Take it or leave it. You know, it was a better set of guys than what you had right now. It was Isaiah Oliver and Sheffield are learning on the job. But yeah, I mean, the idea to have guys that played the position or at least have more familiarity with it, it does make sense. And you do wonder why it hadn't happened sooner.
Parmalee, running back. Parmalee, running back's coach. Makes sense.
Bernie's a great dude, by the way. For those who don't know, younger listeners, he was a UPS driver when he was finally got a chance to get back in the NFL and got a tryout and play with the Dolphins, and it had a nice impact. So no. That's what that means. For those like he's behind the board today, Carlos, I said, like, what? That's glazed over. What are you talking about, UPS man?
Yeah,
That's Bernie's story, man.
True story. Does he believe you back there?
Who knows? He's out.
All right. Hey, to our point, though, what does it mean, guys? It's Dukes and Bell. We're talking about the Falcons and Dan Quinn reassigning three assistants. If you don't block, guys don't catch, we don't run through holes that are there or not there, I mean, it still gets back to the fundamentals. Mike, if they're blown assignments and stupid penalties, go ahead and pick whatever game you want. This is why we're 1-7. None of this matters.
I mean, last night I'm watching Sunday Night Football. You got Sanu back there catching punts for the Patriots.
Don't remind me.
Get him in the end zone. Now, again, the Ravens stepped up, and the Ravens are the new news, and everybody's going to crown them now. Everybody's prisoner of the moment that, you know, but Belichick won't get this figured. Belichick outcoached. Okay.
You want to crown him? Go ahead.
You want to crown him? Go ahead. I think now, if they have to go to Foxborough, but look, I will say this: the Ravens have beaten the Patriots before. you know, with different players, with the Ray Lewis's of the world back in the day. And it was kind of cool last night to see, you know, Earl Thomas being Earl Thomas, like you remember him with Seattle. But kicked out by them in the Patriots. They hit him in the mouth. They go toe-to-toe. And they got Tom Brady out of the comfort zone. They were, like, making plays, turnovers. When they had the botched fumble, they put the Patriots back in the game last night. But that was a fun game to watch. It's fun to watch teams get heat on the quarterback. If you're watching the NFL, you watch the Chargers with Bosa. You watch the 49ers with the other Bosa. It's just fun to watch teams getting after the quarterback, and we just never do that.
No. And again, if that doesn't change,
you know,
the reassigning the three assistants doesn't mean anything. I think more than anything, guys, and I'm going to look at it this way. Mike, you tell me if I'm wrong about this. This is Dan Quinn telling our owner, I'm doing everything I possibly can.
Right.
Outside of that, to me, unless this results in six, seven wins in a row, it really doesn't mean anything. And if that happens, by the way, I will not give the credit to say this reassignment is the reason why we've run off seven or six in a row. If that was to happen, it would be more about the guys living up to their potential, the Vic Beasleys and the Tack McKinleys of the world over the next, you know, seven or eight games, living up to their potential much more than it is about these coaches. I've said this. At some point, you just got to go make a play.
Right.
I mean, how many times can I have to be in your ear, get down, pad level, wrap up, go make a damn play?
I mean, we've talked about this, though, the schematics of the defense and how you're using guys. You know, so, and this, I'm not going to rehash the Vic Beasley argument because we know where this is going. He's not going to be a Falcon next year. But how do you get more out of these guys? I mean, they had the extra bye week. Most guys got away from football for a couple of days. They come back. Maybe they clear their heads. They come with some, I don't know, reinvigorated. We're going down to New Orleans. We've got two road games in the division. You got at Carolina after we play the Saints. And if these, and again, if you're trying to read between the lines with what Arthur was saying after the loss to the Seattle Seahawks, then okay, maybe things can happen. If they go bad, maybe Dan will be gone. Or if things go well, he lives to coach for another week and further evaluation. That's the best I can give you, man.
31st out of 32 teams in the red zone. We're giving up more points there. We're not stopping anybody. You guys know that. 53% of third downs being converted against us. This is our defense. 15 explosive plays this season, tied for fifth most in the NFL. Oh, you want to go on? I mean, those things are the things that have to change.
Right.
That's the stuff that's got to change. 404-741-0929. But you know what? We got a week to see where this goes and how this team comes out of the bye week. If they come out of the bye week flat and we are outscored in the first half again, and we're talking about the same narrative, Mike, I'm done. I can't take it anymore.
Well, I mean, it's so tough because, you know, we work for the flagship guys. You know, you hear the Falcons right here on 92.9 The Game. And it doesn't help us if the team's not doing well. And it's tough when you hear it, Carl and I, the last 10 minutes now. You're like, well, but the thing, you know, we're reaching for straws like they're apparently reaching for straws up at Flowery Branch, trying to find some way to, you know, kickstart this thing.
That we are, man. We're going to come back. We're going to hit some headlines. Big story in college football. Mike and I will chop up. Mike's close to it, but that doesn't mean he won't give you the straight and the straight and narrow on it. That's coming up next hour. Real quick, the Atlanta Hawks are going to host Love Wins Pride Night presented by Grady Hospital on Wednesday. That's Wednesday, November 6th. The game is against the Bulls. Tip-off is at 7:30, but the Atlanta Hawks will be honoring the Human Rights Campaign Foundation, a nonprofit organization. Get your tickets today at Hawks.com. We'll come back. We'll tell you what happened over the weekend if you missed it. What about Georgia Tech? How'd they do? Stay there. We'll tell you. It is Dukes and Bell. Hope you had a great weekend and hope you enjoyed some Hey Man L. Thanks for all the pictures, by the way, for folks sending us photos. And we enjoy that, man. We retweet you guys and put it out there. When you enjoy an ice cold Hey Man L, Mike and I enjoy an ice cold Hey Man L.
Yeah, man. And didn't check my bag, so I didn't get any contraband down to Texas, man. So I was drinking all those. They love their box down there, don't they?
Yes, they do. Shiner Bock, baby.
Yeah, baby. So I was drinking some of those, and the beer had the Astros logo on it. They had some with Rangers on it. It was great.
Yeah.
Really cool stuff, man. The food, I know, because you went to Texas real quick before we get to the headlines. Food down there is amazing. Just unbelievable. I
mean, so what'd you have, bro?
Well, first off, at the track, they do like this giant food truck rumble. All the best Austin food trucks are at the Formula One race.
Okay.
They have a squid belly, grilled cheese with brisket in it. So it's a sourdough bread.
Yes, please.
Grilled cheese with the brisket. I mean,
that's delicious.
To die for. But yeah, man, everyone went to like some funky Chinese joint over like in what would be like their Inman Park kind of cool neighborhoods. Every neighborhood's cool. The live music.
Yeah.
You know, I just love hearing a band playing, roll in there and just get it on. So it was good times, man.
Good, man. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I saw your picture with the brew, and I knew you were off to a great start. Did Becky enjoy it, by the way?
Yes, she did. Yeah, matter of fact, boss lady this morning, it was pretty funny because we had a 6 o'clock flight.
Yeah.
So last night we're out on 6th Street, which is their entertainment district, and I'm like, we got to go to bed. Yeah, I got it because my voice. I could hear my voice going.
And what was she going? Yeah,
she's like, come on, just one more bar. Let's go to the Blind Pig. No, because you got to save the pipes. I can't come in here. It sounded like you know, nobody wants to hear that. So I did show some responsibility last night and shut it down at 11 o'clock.
That's tough to do. That's tough to do.
Let me tell you something.
That's a good town, man. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Glad the race went well. Hope you guys had a great weekend.
Just meat, and more meat. Brisket and beer and shots and tequila.
That's what it's all about. Bo, did you see my picture of my brisket I was cooking over the weekend, getting ready for Georgia, Florida? You didn't see it? Oh, it was delicious. Mike asked me what I was doing. I was literally cooking. By the way, I got a question for you grill masters out there, just real quick, and we're going to get to some headlines. I was going to do a pork belly, Mike. You like pork belly?
I had that last night.
Okay, so I had one. Skin on or skin off?
On.
See, that's what I thought.
Or you can do this. Take the skin off and wrap it around like they did that pork belly.
I did this recipe with like salt and pepper, olive oil, and the skin was like really crispy. You cook it for like 4 hours, it seems right. like. But I liked it, but guys are telling me, yo, you should have cooked that with the skin on. I mean, off. So I'm like, well, which one is it? Which is better?
I think you can keep, from what I know, it's like Echo. If they did a pork belly, I mean, it was a pork chop with a pork belly wrap.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
So it's pork on pork. Yes, please.
Yeah. The pork belly was good. The brisket was good, too, man. Thank you, Bo. Yeah, it was a small one. It wasn't a big one.
Hit us up. And put them up, C-Dukes, Mike Bell, ATL, and tell us what we should be doing with our pork.
Please. No, I need your advice because I love cooking that pork belly, but every time I've done it, like 3 times now, I'm like, it's not like going to, where do they serve it over there where we go to Kevin Rathmern's? Kevin.
Oh, the bacon? Like that?
Yo.
Oh, yeah, man.
So good. So good. All right, man, enough of that. Jahi.
Would you rather talk about the Falcons coaching changes or bacon? I opt for pork and more pork products.
Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins. In the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, let's start first with those Georgia Bulldogs, guys. They get a W. It was a big one down in Jacksonville. Here's Kirby Smart, and he wants everybody to know we've not done anything yet.
We have not arrived. We are not. We have to get better. There are a lot of things that we've got to work on, and we got some really tough teams coming up to play, and that's what I reiterated to our guys.
All right, they scored 24 points. We talked about the big play to Cager. Remember, Cager gets hurt in the South Carolina game. Weather was, I guess the excuse was you really weren't going to throw it in the rain against Kentucky. So you could argue some bigger explosive plays that you're looking for all season long, and that's awesome. We talked about that wheel route, talked about Swift. They grinded it. They stayed with the commitment to the run.
They did.
But they also got Swift out in space, screen passes, toss plays, all the things that Georgia fans and us have been screaming for, Carl. Coley integrated that into the game plan.
That he did, and they stayed balanced. They didn't go away from what they are, really what their identity is. Here is Kirby talking about that guy on the outside. Georgia's a different team when Cager's on the field.
He's a warrior. He's a competitor. Well, he was determined from the start. He was on the side running. He was doing things, wearing Kevlar pads. I mean, he did everything he could. Rehabbed every day. He did extra. I mean, he couldn't do any more than he already did to get out there and play. Just proud of him.
So, Cager was out there. He balled out. Dogs win. It's this simple. Beat Missouri at home. Go on the road. Beat Auburn. Come back. Beat Texas A&M. And you're in Atlanta come the first weekend of December.
Right. Now, Auburn did beat Ole Miss, if you didn't see that game. Gus kept trying his field goal kicker, and it didn't really work. But luckily, Ole Miss, at the end, they got, you didn't see it, the last play of the game, coach was literally hopping mad. But, yeah, man, Auburn lives to play another day. But they'll have that's a tough defense that Georgia's going to have to handle. But if you do what you did against Florida, certainly you like your chances.
I do. I think that defense was key. We'll talk more about it coming up in the Dog Report. Georgia Tech loses to Pitt, Mike, 20-10. They are 2-6 on the season, 1-4 in conference. But, Mike, they need to win their Final Four to be bowl eligible.
Yeah, you and I said 5 was a nice round number for wins this year. Obviously, the game that you lost at the Citadel, that's water under the bridge. But at least you went with your quarterback, right, if you're Coach Collins. And I think most Tech fans realize you're going to take your lumps, but at least you're going to do it running your style of offense as opposed to trying to play with the scraps of what Paul Johnson had left and kind of make something out of that. But it's tough. I mean, look, you knew this was going to be this kind of a year. You just hope that the record doesn't preclude Jeff Collins, from getting those big-time recruits. Because you can get a few more in there, that trickle effect, get more big names, and then have something to build on. But this was always going to be an ugly season.
It was. The offense is still, I don't even know if it's a work in progress. I mean, you know, James Graham was replaced with Lucas Johnson at the half. Here's Jeff Collins talking about the margin for error.
hard-fought football game. Our guys played hard. We talked all week that the margin of error as we're building this thing is small. And you see that. But proud of the way the guys fought, proud of the way that they played.
So Georgia Tech with some work to do. And I'm sure that's what Coach is telling them, right? I mean, if you want to go to a bowl game, we got to win out. It's not like they're incapable. I mean, here's the deal. The defense has been good. You look back at some of these games. I mean, Miami, the defense was good. South Florida, the defense was good. Well, even in, you know, a game where Pitt beats them, the defense kept them in it. They just couldn't get enough offense. So we'll see where Georgia Tech goes, guys.
Now, the college rankings, guys, as you know, these don't really matter, but they can serve as a form of a guideline for the College Football Playoff Committee. Georgia at number 6, Penn State 5, Clemson, Ohio State, Bama, and LSU. And, of course, Bama and LSU will play each other. Some news, we'll talk more about this in the Dog Report, but Michael Divinity has left the LSU football team, Carl.
Big deal.
3 sacks. He's missed some games, but he is one of their best athletes. And personal reasons, has got everybody trying to guess what that means. It's personal reasons. But either way, he's off the football team, and this is a monster loss for them going up against Alabama this weekend.
Yeah, I also want to mention Kennesaw, guys. 17 consecutive home games, regular season matchups. They had not been beaten. And they lost to Monmouth over the weekend, Mike, 26-4 home record. So they had won 17 consecutive, but they take the L. Hey, let's hear from Dan Quinn. We're talking about these changes with the coaching staff. I just tweeted out, why wasn't this done earlier? This means nothing if we don't get the basic blocking and tackling, as Mike has talked about, down. They can do that on Sunday against a very good Saints team, but it won't be easy. Here's Dan Quinn.
Talked to the team today about our second season beginning. And a fresh start with that, what that looks like. 8-game slate to go. No better way to start it than with a division matchup right off the bat. And so our focus goes right to that.
All right. We got all week, Mike. I'm going to try to pace myself because you know how I get with these Saints games. I get a little crazy because I want to beat these guys.
I hear you.
But we've not played worth a darn to give me any confidence that we're going to go into this matchup and beat them.
Well, you know what? The thing is, it is a rivalry game. Who would have thought the Chargers were going to beat the Packers, right, yesterday? I know we say it, Carl. That's all we can hang our hat on right now is on any given Sunday. Do it. Stuff.
Hey, real quick, the Braves also re-signed Tyler Flowers, 1-year deal, $4 million. It saves the club $2 million, and they bring back Nick Markakis. If you're wondering, today was the day the Braves could pick up or decline options, and that's why these deals were done. Markakis comes back with a 1-year, $4 million deal. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the National Football League. What went down? More on everybody's guy right now. Lamar Jackson, next on Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.